It's a very beautiful time. We know, well, we wear purple because there is a penitential aspect to Advent as well, and because we're preparing our souls to receive the Lord in a new and special way, a purer way, a holier way. And so there is that aspect of penance. We can thank the Lord that around the 9th or 10th century, they stopped doing 3 days of fasting during Advent on each week. So they used to have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were fast days, believe it or not, and Advent lasted 40 days, just like Lent does. But they altered it in about the 10th century, as I was listening to a talk by Edward Shree yesterday, and he mentioned that. I thought it was kind of interesting. But that penitential aspect is still there. The Lord wants our hearts. He wants our lives. He wants to be one with us. And in that sense, we are on pilgrimage. Our whole life long is a pilgrimage, really, towards the mountain. And our first reading talks about going to the mountain of the Lord. That is our journey. Each one of us, we're making the trek up the mountain. Now, there's no mountains around here. but think of a symbolic mountain. It's the mountain of life. The mountain where God dwells. And it's important for us to really journey with hope, with openness, and that the Lord is going to help us get up that mountain. He's not indifferent to who's coming up the mountain. He's very attentive. And he's inviting each one of us to be especially attentive during the Advent season. We hear in the gospel, you know, if the guy would have known the thief was coming, he would have stayed up and made sure he didn't break in. And that's a warning to all of us to not get lax in the spiritual life, not to get mediocre or apathetic, but to be vigilant, to be attentive, to be engaged. To be engaged with the Lord in our relationship with him. To not let the setbacks hold us back, but to be opportunities to renew our love for Christ. And that's why we have the beauty of confession, to reinvigorate us, to put us back on the right path, to heal up those wounds and let us continue up that mountain. And also, I always liked this image of offering Christ a gift. Offering Christ a gift during Christmas. How can I prepare my soul for Christ in a special way? What could I offer to Christ of myself? How can I live these days of Advent in that special way and prepare that present, even if I don't completely get the present ready for Christmas Day? And it may continue on. Maybe it's something that needs time. But that I'm giving Christ something from myself. Something it's a sacrifice for me, that takes me out of myself, that enables me to grow in charity and putting others first. That helps me to grow in charity of speech, maybe. In the way I think of others, my getting rid of that criticalness that I maybe struggle to control. What is that gift I can give to Christ? It reminds me of a story my dad told me. My family comes from PEI, so my dad's a dairy farmer out there, so, you know, all the farmers out there, kudos, you know. And my dad told me when he was younger, you know, he had, you know, every one of them, there were 14 in his family, they all had their stockings, and he said one morning he got up, he was all excited to see what was in there, and he pulled out his gift, and it was a pair of unfinished knitted mittens, and it was a nice little note attached to it, and it said, Mrs. Claus did not have time to finish these, you could please ask your mother to finish them. So don't get upset if the gift isn't perfectly ready for Christmas morning. You know, it's something in progress. It's something in progress, right? We're giving of ourselves. I remember, too, one year I came home from university and I had my little winter break, and there's a farmer that I used to work for, and so he hired me for the week to clean out a pen, and it literally took me the week to clean out that pen. It was like over 4 feet thick of manure and straw, and, you know, it was really a fun experience. I was pretty tired at the end of that. But it's like, wow, you left it this long. But anyway, but you know, the image of the manger is a powerful image. And I was listening to a talk the other day, and it was talking about this image of the manger. And if you could imagine your own soul as being the manger that Jesus was looking for to be laid in. And if we could use our imagination for a moment and consider the manger, it's like, how can I prepare a manger to be dignified enough to receive the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Well, Christ transformed that manger into something it never anticipated being. Right? It became the home, the first home of the Lord made flesh, the Word made flesh. And if we look at our souls in that respect, how can I clean up all the mess that sometimes can get into a manger? You know, like that pen, that pen that I had to clean out. You know, it was all hard matted down, and it was a pain. But how do I keep clean that manger so that Christ can be rested in that fresh straw and be happy and warm? How can I prepare that for the Lord? And that's the journey of Advent, is being vigilant, is being open, is being attentive to what God is doing in our midst and what He wants to do in me, and to believe He wants to do something great in me. So over these next 3 days, Father's asked me to lead you in a parish mission. And He's asked me to lead you in a process of spiritual growth. And tonight, and so each night it'll start at 7. And so tonight we'll begin with the first talk on really what is sin in our lives. What is the root sin or the dominant defect that we struggle with? And how do we even identify that? And how do we become more conscious of the effects of sin in our lives and how that holds us back from the Lord and what He really wants to do by helping us become more self-aware so that we know what we need to work on? And then tomorrow evening we'll start with Mass, and then we'll go into the second talk on, well then, once I know that, I can't just focus on my sins because I'll get depressed. You know? I need to focus on building. Now that I know what the symptoms are, I need to put the remedy. And that's where the life of virtue comes in. The virtuous person becomes like God. And so we were going to discuss the importance of virtue in our lives and how come we need to be attentive to that and grow in that and allow the Lord to form and shape us through the life of virtue. And then those two components put together, we can put together a spiritual program, which I'll introduce to you on the third night. I'll give you a copy of it at the end of the second night, and you can take it home to review. And then I'll go through it with you on the third night to explain how that could be a tool to help you have concrete understanding of the little steps you can apply in your day-to-day life to live closer to Christ, grow in virtue, and beat the bad habits of sin that can try to take over our lives. And so I invite you to come out and join us. We'll pray that this weather eases up this afternoon so people can get around easier. And I pray that we'll be able to spend these next 3 evenings together and journey together in trying to grow in our spiritual lives.